Good morning one more time. Those in the room, online, in the overflow, can we put our hands together for Jesus Christ right now in the house? Come on, we can do better than that for Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. We thank God for being able to be here today to celebrate him. And I don't know about you, but I want to start before I jump into the message by just kind of saying thank you. Thank you to many people. On last week, we know that we celebrated Easter, Resurrection Sunday. And there are so many people that make what we do here at Victory happen on a week-to-week basis, those who are serving and volunteering. And so some of you, for the very first time, you signed up and you did your one-day bid on a serving portion last week. And so I want to give God praise. Can we put our hands together for all those people who serve? Thank you for those who serve on a regular basis, for those who served last week. We appreciate you. You made it happen so that many people could come and be introduced to Jesus. Now, I do want to celebrate something specifically, and that is across all of our Victory campuses, we saw so many testimonies, so many people coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, as I was in the lobby, many people came up to me. Many of you said, "Pastor Mo, I've been saved. I've been walking with Jesus for a long time, but this is the first time I saw the message of Christ this way, or I heard about the story of Judas this way, and now I understand the gospel more." And so we're thankful that we get the opportunity to do that. And in that, we had over our campuses 198 salvations, first time decisions to really follow Jesus. Come on, we can do better than that. 198 souls who translated out of darkness into the marvelous light. And it didn't stop there. We actually had 1,546 people say, "I'm rededicating my life today. God, I've been walking away from you, and now I've turned now to go on your path." And we thank God for that. And this last stat that I want to share that's actually near and dear to my heart, we had 33 people say, "I'm curious about this Jesus. I don't really know. I'm still trying to figure it out, but I want somebody to follow up with me." So I'm so glad that we are leading well, that we have so many people that are coming into the knowledge of Jesus, and I believe the world's going to change because of that. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, listen, for many of you that were here last week, some of you, it was your first time and you're back today. And so we want to say not only welcome here, but we will say for some of you, welcome home. Because for many of you, you've been looking for a place to connect. You've been looking for a place to let your shoulders down. You've been looking for a place who preaches the Bible, who exalts Jesus and moves forward in the things of the kingdom. And I believe you found the right place. Not only have you found the right place, I believe that today you're in the right place at the right time. And as we walk through this message today, you're at a good time of being with us because we're walking through the book of Acts. And we've been talking about the book of Acts being about that action. Say, Acts is about that action. We've been saying that because after we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, we now need to see how do you live out a life after Jesus has actually saved you. And so since we celebrated last week, and now we're redeemed and we're walking in that price that he paid for us, I need us to now say, now what? Look at somebody next to you. Go on, get your early look at your neighbor and say, now what? I know some of your introverts are like, stop it. Look at that other person. Say, now what? Here it is. What we're talking about today, and as we walk through this, we need to know that there is a cost to walking with Jesus. And I just want to say this. We're actually today kind of introducing almost like a series within a series. So we've been talking about being sent. And today, over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about the cost, the cost. And as I walked in today, I think this is very appropriate. As I walked into the sanctuary today, the Lord just prompted me and nudged me and said, "Mo, the people in here today are different. Not only are they different, they want something different. Not only do they just want something different, they want to really make a line in the sand and say, God, I'm really going to follow you now. God, I'm tired of playing church games. God, I'm tired of searching all over trying to find something to fulfill the voids that are in my life." And I believe that today, if we can get this message that I'm just going to introduce to us, I believe we'll be set on the right path. Is anybody ready for that? Yes. Amen. Amen. Well, here's what I want to say today. As we talk about, again, the response of the sacrifice of Jesus, there is a cost. Now, you may be saying, "Well, Jesus paid it all." Yes, he did pay it all. There's nothing we can do to earn the salvation that he actually provided for us. But while salvation is free, watch this, it will cost you everything to walk in it. Salvation itself is free, but it does cost something. And today, for the sake of a title, if you're following along in the YouVersion Bible app or taking notes, the title today is The Cost of the Name. The cost of the name, specifically saying the cost of walking and living a life in Jesus' name. And so as we talk about this cost, what we're saying today is that it costs us obedience to walk as witnesses of God. Now, I want to show us something because there's a statement that the late Dr. Miles Monroe, he said before he passed away. And this really speaks to our responsibility that now we have after Jesus has made us free. He said this. He said, if you ever want to progress in life, you will have to grow up into the responsibility of freedom because there is a cost for being free. Somebody say there's a cost to being free. And Luke, who is also the author of Acts and Luke, the book of Luke, he said this, and this is somewhat of a familiar passage of scripture, and I want to read it from the Message paraphrase. He said this in Luke chapter 14, verse 27. Anyone who won't shoulder his own cross and follow behind me can't be my disciple. Is there anyone here who planning to build a new house doesn't first sit down and figure the cost so you'll know if you can complete it? If you only get to the foundation laid and then run out of money, you're gonna look pretty foolish. Everyone passing by will poke fun at you, saying he started something he couldn't finish. Now, as I read that and I started to meditate on this, I believe, as we're talking about us wanting something different, I believe you're tired of the world poking at the body of Christ. Many times, if you're honest, we see this world ridiculing the church. We see the world looking and saying, oh, it doesn't take all that. We see the world telling you what you are committing to is not worth it. But how many of you know it is worth it being able to follow the things of God and committing that I'm gonna be obedient? Do I have a witness in the house? And so as we look at this, what we're saying is that we don't wanna be a people that the world pokes fun at us because we have not counted the cost and we say we're about something, but we're really not about it. We say we want the testimony of Jesus, but we're not necessarily willing to pay the cost of what it will mean to walk the life of Jesus out. And so I believe that I'm in a room, that I'm talking to people online in the overflow. I'm talking to some people who want to finish the race. Can I get one witness by the waving of your hands right now? Amen. And so as we're talking about this, what we're looking to do is to finish the assignment that God has on our lives. Now, for us, the sake of a quick, super quick review, we've been saying this over and over again, that the purpose, the main purpose of us coming together here in a gathering as the church is to gather to worship, to be equipped, to be built up, to be reminded, to be fortified, to be deployed so that we can scatter to be a witness. We've said it like this for those who are new. We gather to worship so that we can scatter the witness. And as we do this today, again, I'm just opening up an intro. I don't have the pressure of trying to finish something. I just want to start conditioning our minds to start thinking about what does it cost if I really want the life that I say I want in God. And for you to know, I want to let you in on our prayer lives for you. When we pray for this congregation, what we pray is that we don't want to just be another church down the block. We don't want to just be another gathering of people who come and lift their hands on Sunday and act like hell on Monday. We don't want to be a people who come in and put the church face on Sunday and then you leave here and you're operating in a defeated way all week. But what we are saying is that our assignment as witnesses for God is so that we can establish God's house here on the earth. What does that mean? When we talk about building the kingdom, we're saying everywhere that he's placed you, everywhere that he's given you influence, everywhere that he strategically put you, that you are now marked for the people around you, you're supposed to build God's house. And so for some of us, that's revelation, that's new. But for all of us, what we're saying right now is that God is asking us this question. Here's the question. Will you partner with me in building my house? Will you partner with me because I've paid a high price for you by sending my son Jesus to die on the cross for you? And the only thing that I'm looking back in return is for you to obey. Now, that might sound simple, but you know it's complicated. Because the life we live right now, especially in this world, this society we live in, it's very averse to obedience. is very averse to authority and people being over you. So the level set, let me just say this. Obedience is simply this: the compliance with an order, request, or law. It is submission to another's authority. And so as we look at this, what we're saying is that, God, I'm available to you. God, I'm surrendering to you. God, I have not come to play the church games and the religious games and the things that my family members talked about a long time ago. I want a real gospel right now. Does anybody in this room want a real gospel? A gospel that translates into your life, that gives you real victory, that's not some rubbing of the Bible and a fairy tale gospel, but you want to be able to walk in the fullness of what God has for you. So as we look at this, here it is. We're saying that I'm going to commit to living in Jesus' name. I'm committing to giving myself over to him. And so when we do this, when we say this again, coming off the Easter Sunday, when we do this, what we need to understand is there are byproducts to being obedient. There are byproducts to saying, I'm really gonna live a life in Jesus' name. So let's get into it. We're gonna pick back up at Acts chapter 5, where we see the apostles' journey in their obedience. Acts chapter 5, verse 14, I'm reading it from the CSB version. It says this: believers were added to the Lord in increasing numbers, multitudes of both men and women. And as a result, they would carry the sick out into the streets and lay them on cots and mats so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some. In addition, a multitude came together from the towns surrounding Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Then the high priest rose up. He and all who were with him, who belonged to the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They were hating, y'all. So they were arrested. They arrested the apostles and put them in a public jail, a public jail. Now, as we look at this, the apostles, they were just doing what Jesus commissioned them to do. Before Jesus left, he said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That's part of our motto or our creed here at Victory. But what we also need to know is as they were minding their business in the will of God, there were some byproducts that happened. The first one is they understood this. They understood that obedience comes with a cost. Obedience comes with a cost. Again, there is a cost to living in Jesus' name. Here it is. Even when you're doing good things, sometimes you have to pay a cost that you didn't want to pay. Even when you're being explicitly obedient to the things of God, sometimes you'll find yourself in a tight place. And as we look at what the disciples walked through, we see in verses 15 and 16 that they were just doing good. They were delivering people. They were healing people. But just like we see, good is not always celebrated. Have you ever been doing good, minding your business, going about your business, and then you see people looking at you with the side eye? And you're like, I'm not even messing with you. I'm just trying to stay focused on what God has for me. But what we see in verse 17 is that's not always celebrated. It says that the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. Now pay attention to this, because I had to start reading this and researching this and studying this. The Sadducees, they held a role of the religious leaders of the day. They held the role of the authorities of the day. Let me say it like this. They were the influencers of the day. And what we see right here is that they were not upset because of what people were gaining. They weren't upset because people were getting healed. They weren't upset because people were getting delivered. They weren't upset because of what people were gaining. They were upset because of what they were losing. And what they were losing was influence. What they were losing was people coming to them for the answers. What they were losing is people looking at them in a form of a deity trying to depend on them. Be careful if you're around people that get a little weary when you stop looking to them for the answers and you start going to God for the answers. A sign that someone is really not aligned with your best interest at heart is that if you stop calling them when you're in a rut and you start calling on the name of Jesus and they say you've changed, you need to be able to answer affirmatively, yes, I have changed. I've changed because I can no longer depend on man. I've changed because I know I can't fix it myself. I've changed because I know for God I live and for God I die. And if I'm gonna make it, I have to depend on him. And so what they saw right here as the Sadducees, they said, listen, they saw the real goodness of God was starting to make a mark. that people were starting to see the results of being those who walked and followed Jesus the Christ. And so what they did is they saw these apostles were pulling people away from their leadership and their theology. What was their theology? Their theology is very close to what we see today. It was a casual Christianity. It was a casual moving where people were looking to man for the answers. And what we know is that because of this, the religious leaders put them in jail. But let's read this real quick because that wasn't a surprise to them. In John chapter 15, verse 20, Jesus actually gave them forewarning before he went and ascended. He said this, "Remember the word I spoke to you." Say, remember. The reason I want you to think about that is because this week, many of you are going to need to remember what the Lord spoke to you. That you don't relegate the truth of God to a Sunday morning, but that it transfers into every part of your life. He says, "Remember the word I spoke to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But," say but, "they will do all these things to you on account of my name, because they don't know the one who sent me." Here it is. By now, some of you are here. You're like, okay, this is the week after Easter. Aren't you supposed to be giving us an uplifting message? Aren't you supposed to be kind of making us happy and jump around and raise our hands? No, here's the thing. I have an assignment. People talk about snatching edges. My assignment today is to be a spiritual chiropractor. Because I'm not here to formidably snatch edges. I'm here to snatch you back into the alignment of God. I have an assignment today to make sure that you don't walk around here broken and bent over and thinking that you have a half understanding of the gospel, but that you know fully, for God I live and for God I will die, and it will cost me. Yeah. And if we don't know that, what we'll do is we'll do the same thing people were doing at this time, and we'll walk in a cultural Christianity that's null and void of power. But as we look at this, what we're saying is that we want to make sure that we don't walk in this epidemic of cultural Christianity that does what? It produces casual Christians. And what I believe right now is that we have a whole society that's looking after casual Christianity as their answer. What am I saying? A casual Christian, what it does, it hides behind the banner of cheap grace. What is cheap grace? Cheap grace is I come to church on Sunday, but then I go do everything I want to do on Sunday evening. Cheap grace is I come and I lift my hands in this holy place, but then I'm putting my hands in unholy places on Monday. Cheap grace is that I use my voice right now to lift up the name of Jesus, but when I'm on IG all week, I'm cussing people out. And I'm using all types of words because it's culturally acceptable. Cheap grace is saying, God, you know, you're going to forgive me anyway. Cheap grace says, you know, you quote the scripture in a wrong way. If I make my bed in hell, yes, you will be there with me. And what God wants us to know, yes, you can make your bed in hell, but right there, you're still going to have to operate in the consequences of you making your bed in hell. I'm not just going to push that away. And so what we do is that we operate many times in cheap grace, watch this, instead of being empowered by true grace. True grace says that while you're being tempted, I will give you the power and the ability to withstand the temptation. True grace says I can deliver you even from that stronghold that you've kind of settled is a generational curse. True grace says your lifestyle has to match up with me, and I will be patient with you along the deliverance, but I need you to understand that I will not compete with sin. Here it is. I know this is sober. But God says we have to operate in true grace again, because we need to know, as we said a couple weeks ago, that there is a pure religion that we can walk in. What is the pure religion? The pure religion actually provides wholeness to us. It provides healing for us. It provides alignment for us. It challenges us in our flesh so that we can walk in the Spirit. And so as we're looking at this, I need us to know this very clearly. Write this down after I say it. Obedience is often met with a price tag more than a paycheck. Obedience is often met with a price tag more than a paycheck. What am I saying? It may not be easy, but it's worth it. It may not be something that is culturally acceptable, but it's worth it. And so when we understand that obedience costs, what does it cost? It costs our compartmentalization of looking at our Christianity as a line item instead of a lifestyle. What am I saying? So many people today, especially, we look at Christianity and we put it over in these boxes. We say, okay, that's my work life over there. Or that's my family life over here. Or this is my private life. All right, Pastor, you're getting a little too close to my private life. You're meddling now. And then we'll say, but this is my church life. You're welcome to speak into that. And God is saying, stop relegating me into line items. Stop putting me in boxes. Stop expecting more of me than you're willing to pay. And so I believe that we're in a place right now that, as we've said before, either Jesus is Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. And I'm here to challenge us, because I believe that as I look into your eyes today, I'm standing in front of a generation, in front of an overflow room, in front of an online audience that says, I'm tired of walking in Christian hypocrisy. I'm tired of seeing watered down salvation, where people give a pass to things in the name of our flesh wounds. And so as we look at this, remember what Acts 5:18 says. It says, they arrested the apostles and put them in a public jail. Watch this. When you choose to shift your walk with God from being a line item to a lifestyle, there will be people that are looking at you to see if you'll actually fulfill what you say you believe. When you make this shift, you'll now be put on trial in the public opinion of people judging if your life is matching up with your testimony. And that's not to scare us, that's to call us up. And as Kendra and I pray for you daily, what we're saying is that we don't want to just be a people who get a big gathering of people, but people walk out of here defeated with a wrong idea about their Christianity. One clap over here, I know. Because the thing is here, this is sober. Because after the resurrection, how do we live? Here's some questions that I want you to write down that I just want to give you. They're not in your notes. You need to pay attention. A few questions that you need to ask yourself when you're being obedient to God and you're not just adjusting to public opinion are these. Am I focused more on temporal things than eternal things? Do I think more about life on earth than I think about eternity in heaven? Am I satisfied with being a hearer of the word, or will I push forward and really be a doer of the word in this season? Am I going to choose to commit to what is trending, or will I commit to walking and standing on what is truth? Some of y'all are like, slow down. Let me say this last one. I'll give it to you again. I see y'all taking notes. I love it. Here's the last one, and I'll run back through them. Am I content with knowing Jesus as Savior, or will I really know him as Lord? I want to slow down because this is very important. The first one, am I focused more on temporal things than eternal things? Do I think more about life on earth than eternity in heaven? Am I satisfied with being a hearer of the word, or will I really be a doer of the word? Am I going to choose to commit to what is trending, or will I stand on what is truth? And am I content with knowing Jesus as Savior, or do I really want to know him as Lord? See, when we see this, when we think about this, even in this room, I feel the weight of your wanting to walk in what God has for you. And what we see, even in the scriptures, is that the obedience of the apostles, it cost them. And it not only cost them, it's going to cost us. It cost us obedience, but obedience brings us great benefits. The second thing that I want to say is that with obedience bringing great benefits, this is an encouraging part of the story. Because as I talk about this and we hear this kind of hard word, what we're hearing right here is that as Peter and the disciples, they were walking, they were frustrated, I bet, sitting in a prison just for doing what Jesus told them to do. But what the Bible says in Acts chapter 5, verse 19, listen to this. It says, but an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail during the night. It brought them out and said, go and stand in the temple and tell the people about this life. Hearing this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. Now, let me pause for the cause real quick, because I've shared this with you many times. I don't just read the Bible and just kind of run past things. I actually say, how would I have operated in that moment? First of all, if an angel opened the doors of a jail and he said, go, I wouldn't be worried about anything else they said after go. I'm out. I'm like, don't pass go, don't stop. I'm getting out of Jerusalem because this must be the will of God. You let me go. But what we have to see right here is that this angel opened the doors, but also gave them instruction to go right back into place and preach in the same thing that got them locked up in the first place. Here's a message to you brought to you by Jesus Christ. You may be a person that God opens up a door for you, but what he's really wanting to do is to see, will you trust me to go back even if it doesn't make sense? Will you trust me to follow me when I say something that's oxymoronic? Will you trust me when everybody else is saying, oh, God is a deliverer? Yes, God is a deliverer, but the main thing he wants to deliver you into is to his will. And as we look at this, I was just studying this and praying through this, and I said this is for us. This obedience for this life is a new thing for a lot of us. Because of a lot of us are used to operating in church as a Sunday morning thing. But God is saying, I want you to be able to understand this opposition is an opportunity for you to be a witness to me. Now, some of y'all are like, I don't need to be that kind of witness. Don't put me in any kind of trouble. But what we see right here is that without this instance, we wouldn't have even this story or this opportunity of the first prison break. Without this particular instance of the apostles giving themselves over to the will of God, we wouldn't be able to be encouraged that when we are going through prisons in life, that we can be delivered. But what we also need to understand, hear this, I heard this for some people in the room today. This is specifically for some people who are navigating through some situations. We need to remember that the text does not say the angel came and fought the guards. We need to see that the angel just opened the door and brought them out. What am I saying? This is for someone. When you are walking in obedience to God, you don't have to fight or struggle with your enemies. Yeah, this is just for a few people in the room. When you're really operating in obedience, you need to know that God already has your back. As a matter of fact, this is not just for a few people in the room. Some of y'all are walking through some things on your job, in some relationships where you're kind of struggling figuring out what to do because there feels like struggle all around you. Watch this. This is what I heard from the Lord for you. It's a fixed fight. It's a fixed fight. Remember, the angel did not struggle. It's a fixed fight. But there's more instructions. We like to get excited about that. It's a fixed fight, Jesus. Kill my enemies, Jesus. That's not what I'm talking about. Here's some instruction for you. Here's some instruction. Listen to this. It's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time, so you have to be patient. That's not it. Don't get excited just yet. Here's the hard part. Don't get out of character. Woo. Some of y'all were like, I was with you before, Pastor, when you said the angel was gonna kill them all. Don't get out of character. Don't get out of character. I'm saying that for somebody in the room online. Don't get out of character. Why? Your job is to obey his instruction. So when people despitefully use you, when people pass you over, when people are saying despiteful things about you, will you fall into the character of retaliation, or will you be lifted up to be able to understand that you're walking in the character of Christ because somebody's watching you? And so here's another thing that I need you to know for all those who that mail is for you, there is security in obedience. What do I mean by that? This is in your notes. You have to have the confidence that says, God, if you told me to do it, I'm gonna trust you to see me through it. Come on, God, if you told me to do it, if you told me to stay, if you told me to go, if you told me to actually be humble in this situation, I am trusting you to see me through it. This is where it comes in, where we have to really kind of slow down and not just get overly excited and emotional, because trust comes at a cost. One of our life scriptures is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. The Amplified Version says it like this: trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and recognize him, and he will make your path straight and smooth. Watch this, removing obstacles that block your way. I wanna do this because I'm feeling this in the spirit. I told you this was for some people. Can I have everybody just to lift your hands right now? Everybody in the overflow, everybody online, because this is not just a sermon. I told you I came to spiritually adjust us today to make sure that we're open to what God has for us. Father, in the name of Jesus, with our hands lifted right now, what we are saying with our hands up is that we surrender to you. What we're saying with our hands up is that we're not trying to do things and take it in our own hands. What we are saying right now is that we trust you to move in a way that only you can move. We thank you, God, for sending angelic help on our behalf, that when things look like a prison around us, we are open to understanding that you're not fighting with our enemies, but you're opening the door for us to walk out, but only if we will be obedient to you. So God, I pray right now for a supernatural grace over this congregation. I pray right now that we will not grow weary and well doing, but in due season, we will reap if we faint not. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Come on, put your hands together if you believe that. Come on, put your hands together if you believe that. I hope you know I'm not just preaching a sermon. This is prophetic for you because you need the help of the Lord on your behalf. And so as we jump back into the text, we see this in Acts chapter 5, verse 28. It says this, didn't we strictly order you not to teach in his name? This is them now talking back to him. It says, look, you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. They're like, y'all gonna make me kill you. But Peter and the apostles replied, we must obey God rather than people. How many of y'all know Peter was about that life? Peter said, I don't care what you're talking about. I so depend on God that in the midst and in the face of the adversity, in the face of you threatening me, I'm still gonna do what God told me to do. And what we see right here, hear this, because in verse 33, they continue, it says, when they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. Another commercial brought to you by Jesus Christ. There are gonna be some times where your obedience won't make sense. And in the beginning, it's gonna make people enraged, because they won't understand why you're not actually going with their threats. They're not gonna understand why how they can actually threaten somebody else and they get in line, but you sit there and say, God, I don't trust you, I trust God. And as they looked at this, they went on, it says, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was respected by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin, the council, and ordered the men to be taken outside for a little while. He said, pause for a second, we need to dismiss them, because I'm feeling something I need to shed some light on for you. He said to them, men of Israel, be careful about what you're about to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a group of about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, and his followers were dispersed and came to nothing. After this man, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and attracted a following. He also perished, and all his followers were scattered. So in this present case, this is for you, y'all. In this present case, I tell you, stay away from these men and leave them alone. For if this plan or this work is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is of God, if it is of God, if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them, and you may even be found fighting against God. And they were persuaded by him. What is this scripture saying? I believe that Gamaliel, he was saying, you need to watch out. Because I've seen people come and go, but I've also seen when God actually shows up and is with somebody. A little side note that I want to insert here, Gamaliel was actually Saul's rabbi. Saul, who turned to Paul, while he was killing the church, he learned from Gamaliel. So a person who actually was against the church in some ways could not deny the fruit of the church. You have some people around you that you're gonna notice this week that as they have been against the things of religion, against the thing of your walk with God, they will have no choice but to recognize that surely God is with you. And so we see here, and he's saying, there's something different about them. Hold on, because you might find yourself barking up a tree you actually can't handle. But their commitment to obedience was enough for him to consider that God was with them. Here's another little side note. Somebody is watching you to see if you're gonna really stay committed to what you say you believe. And the testimony of your life that you actually bear down and you submit and say, I'm really gonna walk in this thing, actually it has the keys to set somebody else free to see if you really believe enough in your gospel to believe in the face of adversity. And so being a witness is not always when it's nice. Being a witness is not always when everything looks good. Being a witness is being that person who stays in character even when you think no one is watching. And so what we see right here is that we need to know that the weapons of our warfare, they may try to come at us, but we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against principalities and powers and the rules of darkness in high places. And I wanna give you this note because this is a life scripture for Kendra and I, Isaiah 54:17. It says this, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness from me, says the Lord. Listen to this. Sometimes we say, oh, the weapons may form, but they won't prosper. There's a lot of times that we try to fight fire with fire or flesh with flesh. But when we look at this scripture in context, you may be saying, well, how do I allow my life to condemn? You allow your life to condemn those words that are coming against you by continuing in obedience. I have literally seen in my life where there have been things that people didn't understand, challenges, people that were talking negatively about me, assassinating character, but I stayed focused. And as I stayed focused, my actions, my lifestyle condemned the weapons that they were trying to form against me because I knew the Lord was with me. And so just like that, you need to understand that as you move forward, the Lord is with me. Can you just do this? I know I'm having you move a little bit, but I need y'all to grab this. Can you just put your hand on your heart real quick and say, I'm confident that the Lord is with me. Come on, say it with your chest. Say, I'm confident that the Lord is with me. Here it is. When you know the Lord is with you, you ask yourself the question, will I walk away in fear-driven independence or will I run to God in faith-filled obedience? Will I run away in fear-driven independence or will I run to God in faith-filled obedience? Because when we operate in this kind of obedience, what we see is that there's this third byproduct of obedience. We understand that obedience brings great joy. Now, as soon as I said that, some of y'all are like, it's about time you talk about some good news. Because as we look at this, yes, it can be tough. But what we see here in Acts 5, even in verse 40, we see it says, after they called in the apostles and had them flogged, they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and released them. Then they went out from the presence of the Sanhedrin, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to be treated shamefully on behalf of the name of Jesus. Can I make this very plain? There's a lot of good things that happen when we're obedient, but this is not one of them. See, all before this time, persecution was people using words to say bad things. But in this instance, this is where they were actually physically attacked. If you want to understand the gravity of being flogged, flogging was actually one degree of separation from being crucified. As a matter of fact, they would have a rod or a leather strap and they would make the person exposed and butt naked and they would beat them up to 39 times because Jewish law said that 40 times could actually kill you. It was that close. And so we're not just talking about, you know, this kind of false persecution that we have today. We think persecution is someone talking about us in our comments. We think persecution is someone not inviting you, you know, to the sip and serve. You think somebody is actually persecuting you because they don't invite you to the thing that you see on IG a little later. But this is where you actually talk about being beat down. And many of us are not ready to take on that, but we can take on the understanding of being obedient. But this is the first time that they had physical persecution. But why did they have joy? They had joy because they looked to the one who they were witnessing from. They looked to Jesus, and the author of Hebrews says it like this. The thing that Jesus allowed himself to stay focused on when he went to the cross, it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he did what? He endured the cross, the scorning of its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Listen to this. there is a joy that is before us. The joy that Jesus saw before us was he knew that 2,000 years from him, there would be people sitting at 1429 Fairmont Avenue that would come into the knowledge of him. He knew that at the name of his name, every knee would have to bow and every tongue would have to confess. Because he actually went to the cross and actually withstood even the pain, he said there will be people that can call on my name and walk in deliverance. And so what we need to understand in this sober word today is that we have an opportunity to look to the joy that is set before us so that we can fully walk in what God has for us in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I want to read this last quote to us, and I want to do something. Because this is not just a message for us to kind of put in a notebook. This is something for us to walk in with understanding. Richard Foster says this. He said, if worship does not propel us into greater obedience, it has not been worship. To stand before the Holy One of eternity is to change. Can you bow your heads for a moment? As you have your head bowed right now, I want you to take a moment and think about what are the areas that I need to yield myself to be obedient to the cause of Christ? What are the areas that while I might not be being flogged physically, that I'm going through what I feel is persecution right now, but it's for a far more exceeding glory? What are the areas that after the resurrection that I now have to walk in the fullness of what God has for me? Just take a moment right there and just meditate on that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes silence is awkward because we don't give God space to really correct us. But in this moment, he wants to correct us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. As you think about that right now, just kind of lift your hands right there where you are. In the overflow, online, lift your hands. And as you lift your hands, what you're saying right now, without any pomp and circumstance, you're saying, God, I surrender to you. God, I'm willing to pay the price of obedience so that I can walk in the fullness of what you have for me. This is you practicing, yielding to him. Think about those areas that you've been hardened in your heart. Think about those areas that you know the Lord has been pressing you into that you need to say yes to him in right now. And so I'm going to pray for you in a moment, but just for these next few moments, I want the Lord just to minister to us because I believe that as we say yes to the things of Jesus, we will be able to walk in the fullness of this cost to follow him. So let's just minister there just for a second. Hallelujah.
My heart, I'll agree in my
Let's just lift that up. Lift it up. Lift it up yourself.
Say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes. I will trust you when, your spirit speaks to me. With my heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes.
One more time, all over the room, one more.
I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I say yes, Lord, yes, and I will trust you and obey. And when your spirit speaks to me, with my heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes.
Hallelujah.
And my answer will be yes. Lord, yes.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes.
Come on, with those hands still lifted right now. Come on.
We Father, say we thank yes you. To you, man.
We thank you that we say yes to you. We thank you that we will be those people who operate in obedience. We declare, God, that as we understand obedience comes with a cost, we won't shy away from paying the cost. We thank you, God, that that obedience, yes, while it comes with great benefits, we have to be those who stick with it. Father, I pray over your people right now that as obedience brings us great joy, we will be those people who stay strong in you, in the power of your might. We won't compromise. Father, I pray against the spirit of compromise over your people right now. I pray right now against the spirit of yielding to the status quo. And I declare, God, this week, we will be those who show up differently because we have paid the price for obedience. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Come on, give God praise right there. Come on, give God praise right there. Give God praise right there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want everybody to stand on your feet all over the room, in every room, in every overflow, those who are worshiping with us online. As our prayer leaders come down, I want to take this moment to kind of cap this time. Again, we have been prayerful about your lives. And we believe that as we walk through this journey of being those who show up as real witnesses, we have the opportunity to stand up and count the cost so that we can walk this out. If you're in here today, and even as Pastor Jamal led us through the salvation call earlier, and you did not give your life to Jesus, we want to make sure that you have an opportunity even now to respond to the gospel. And so that if you want to give your life to Jesus today, or you've made that confession of faith today, we want to make sure you see one of our prayer leaders and take a one step to say, I am now walking in this new understanding. And not only do we want you to walk in that understanding, we say we have a new believers discipleship class for you that's starting here every Sunday at 3 p.m. that you can take part of as well so that you can understand how do I continue to walk counting the cost of obedience. Amen? Amen. I want to bless you. I want to pray for you as we get ready to leave. So if you'll just lift your hands one more time, you're surrendering to the Lord. Father, I pray right now that as we get ready to leave this place, we won't leave your presence. As we leave today, God, let this word be solidified in our spirit so that when we get challenged this week, we will know that we will pay the price for obedience. God, I declare that we will live and not die to declare the mighty work of the kingdom. And we're protected on every side to walk out and be witnesses for your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you, Victory. We will see you next week.